Okay, gentlemen, we are holding today. Today's daf is daf Yud Dalet. The Mishnah begins on daf Yud Gimel Amid Beis. Rabbi Josh was unable to be here this morning, but our dear president has spent the evening preparing for this great occasion. If you have a bird that has built a nest on top of a tree that belongs to Hegdesh. Now, the question is, at this point, we're assuming if it built a nest, it probably used branches from the tree itself, which creates a problem over here, because it says, Lo nehenin velo mo'alim. There's no me'ila. Perhaps it's talking about, therefore, that it came from elsewhere, but if it's coming from elsewhere, why would it be usher at all? Okay, all of this we're going to examine. But clearly, some of the issues that we have to take into consideration are, do we make a gezeira that people may utilize the tree to climb up with? I mean, after all, if you climb up on the tree, shel hekdesh, then you would be nene from it. Even though it's b'chubra, there wouldn't be a chiyav of me'ila, but still we wouldn't want you to be nene and hekdesh. There may be another question, which is even if it's made from the tree itself, remember that we had yesterday this question of whether gidulei hegdash are considered to be hegdash. You have a field, actually would be a perfect continuation of the sugyas that we've been talking about until now. Starting with the dam, remember we went from dam and then we went to chalav and beitzim and to mayan and to soda and things that grow out of the soda. It makes a lot of sense. Maybe the question over here would be the shaila of gidulei hegdesh. So that even though the tree was hegdesh, normally the bird would be able to break off only branches that were newly grown and were still easy to strip. So that those branches would be gidulei hegdesh and would not be kodesh, perhaps. These are some of the things we have to consider. So what you can do is then you could be yatiz bekanena. That's strange. I mean, if it's aser, you shouldn't be able to take a branch and poke it. Of course, the question is, what is the Yatiz Bekaneh talking about? The Yatiz Bekaneh may be talking about poking it so that the little birds fly out and catch them. Doesn't necessarily mean you use the nest itself. Anyway, as you can see, there's a lot of things that are sort of left hanging up on the tree here. Mm-hmm. Now, the same case on an Asherah tree, there, The tree itself, of course, is aser b'handal. And yet you could still be matiz b'kane. You could take a stick, you could poke it. Again, as I said, it's not clear what it is that you're poking. Hamagadishit ha-choresh mo'alim b'kulo. If you made an entire forest kodesh, so then all of the Rambam learns that these two are interrelated. In other words, if you had been magdish the entire forest, then you have to assume that the nest was built from various things that were in the forest, and so it would be osir on the.
I thought choresh was a bush. That's what Jastra was saying.
Well, he done made a mistake over here.
Yeah.
All right.
A shrub forest instead of a.
Yeah, choresh usually refers to low bushes in it, but it's a whole area that's a choresh. The way Rashi is learning, some of the other Rishonim are learning, then the choresh over here would just be to tell me that all elements of the chursha are aser, not only the tree itself, but even the small leaves and whatever falls, which is important to know in the context of this mission. Anyway, it makes sense here to take that into consideration. Itma. Now we have a machlokas, a very sweet machlokas, as to what the din is about an avodah zarah that falls over and busts into smithereens. So the question is, shall we say that the fact that it's broken now takes off the iser avodat kochavim on it? Rabbi Yochanan omer asura. Rabbi Yochanan says, look, it remains asur. And Rabbi Reish Lakish says, no, it's muteret. Rabbi Yochanan says it's asura. He says, why wouldn't it be asura? Why would the fact that it broke make it mutter? The only thing that makes something mutter is where the goy himself is actually mevatalit. In this case, the goy was not mevatalit, so why would it be mutter? Reish Lakish says, no, of course he's mevatalit, because me maramar, look, I mean, even if he didn't say anything openly, clearly you got to be nuts Any guy that comes along and finds this thing busting the smithereens says to himself, look, it couldn't save itself. How's it going to save me? Right? So the situation is such that it's by definition useless to him, and therefore he has looked at it as a dover shochulin.
We assume he said that.
And we have a chazoka that it's betela. And the goyim see that their avodah zarah is useless, so they throw it out, basically. I don't even bother throwing it out, but it's... What's going on here?
This is like the truth.
I can't figure it out. It's incredible. You have to be a child to be able to follow instructions. I'm sorry.
Well,
amazing. Absolutely amazing.
It's always fun.
Yeah.
Dug
and
smashed.
Yeah. But that's okay. I mean, there they understood that it was a battle between the gods. That's not a kash. But over here, what kind of? There's no. I mean, I understand this god is more powerful. Whatever. It was a terrible thing. Yeah. But like the Gemara Menorah says, that all of the goyim are all b'chol makom mukdar mukdash l'shmi. Right? It says, and the Gemara asks, what do you mean? I thought everybody is worshipping some Avodah Zarah. Why is it it's a Shmi? So the Gemara says, because all of the Avodah Zarah recognize that there is the Father, so to speak, the Father above them all. They call him Elohad Elohim. HaKadosh Baruch was known as the God of Gods. So poor Dagon, who was a second level God, was hurt. So they were broken for him. I mean, that wasn't just that he can't protect himself. But over here, Stam, it falls over and collapses. I mean, there was nothing had happened there, that there was a fight between the Yorah and Habris. And, you know, it's a whole new thing.
Still not there, but no Borisov?
No, not necessarily. Depends how we understand Reish Lakish. If we understand Reish Lakish that the Batsim needs to be an act of Bittul, and that we can assume such an act of Bittul occurred, then Erachinami. But another way which some understand Reish Lakish is the Pshat, that there's such a thing as an umden of a Bittul that's a Omedes. In other words, because it no longer has the belief of it. In other words, that itself is a Bittul. Eisei Reish Lakish Rabbi Yochanan. Reish Lakish points out to Rabbi Yochanan from our Mishnah, very interestingly, Orion. Here it says, Hakein Sheberosh Ha'ilan Shel Hegdesh, Ein Nehenin Ve'ein Mo'alin, but Avin Ashera Yatiz Bakaneh. Now, where exactly, it says you can knock the nest off of the tree and use the nest. So how can you do that? Wasn't the nest made out of broken pieces of tree? Must be, therefore, that the broken pieces of tree are, by definition, no longer Asra Zin Ashera. Because of it can't protect itself against a little birdie. So how is it going to protect the worshippers? And Mamela, it's mutter. So my love to itbar migufa must be that it was broken from its own tree. Vikataniyatiz bikane. And then nonetheless it says that you can knock off the nest, poke it down, and then throw it in the fireplace, I assume, and use it for fuel or whatever.
Make bird's nest soup.
That's right. Absolutely. And we can mix it with the owls that have nested in your beard. So, Lachor, that's a clear riot to me, says Reish Lakish, that it has become. But tell, this is very interesting, because Lachor, those Kanim themselves, I mean, if it wasn't able to save those Kanim, wouldn't they be Vavat of the whole Asherah? Is it just like the new part that they're going to be? Because we're certainly saying the rest of the tree is also, you can't go up on it.
Can you
shoot
this silly from this tree?
Well, that we're assuming this. Answers the Gemara Lo Da'i Sei Tzimiyom. How do you know that it's talking about that it made it up the tree? The point over here is you can't go up on the tree to get it, but you could be at these because I, why by Hegdash would you not be allowed? I mean, that's going to be our problem. What's the distinction over here? So you want to try to tell me that it's talking about the Ayse Mi'alma, Yisiyach Yamashal Hekesh Enenin Vein Mo'ali? So if it was Ayse Mi'alma, so understand. So then what's the Mi'ila on the bird nest? And says the Gemara, that's not a problem. It's talking about the Gidulim Abayim Le'achar Mikan. Because Sovar, Ein Mo'alim B'Gidulim. And the idea over here is that, but the truth is the gears over here, it leaves out so much. It's Kedai for us to take a look in the Shita. In Os Olive. And that just makes the Gemara flow much better. Don't have to throw everything in yourself. So answers the Gemara Me Alma. It came from elsewhere, and therefore it's no riot at the Resh Lakish. Deganami, and indeed, that seems to be the case. Diktani Gabi Hegdesh Lo Namin Velo Moali. See, Amrit Bishle Medai Temi Alma Vekinta Bahen. If you're going to tell me that we're talking about a case where the bird brought these little branches from elsewhere, that would explain why it says Lo Nanim Velo Moali, meaning Lo Nanim Midrabanan. But nonetheless, you're not Moel Midiraisa Dolo Kachi. No one was ever Magdashid. Why aren't you allowed to be Nana from Lechatchila? Because we're afraid that you're going to end up being Eila and Elon, so we make it something that's not accessible to you. Legade, the Asherah, why would we not make such a Gezerah? Because an Asherah, people are very Magdashid all the time to stay away from it. So they're used to this idea. Shall Hekdesh, they don't have that sense of bedili that they do by Avedis Kirchhov. And that distinction we often see. So, Eliyamad Itbar Migufa, if you're going to tell me that it was actually pieces that were broken off of the tree itself, why does it say over here, Ein Mo'alin? Fine, you want to tell me by Avedat Kirchhovim that I was Mavatalit, say whatever you want. But why by Hegdesh would there be no Me'ilah, since it came from that tree? Answers the Gemara, Midei Aire. You can't prove your answer to Rish Lakish for this, because maybe over here, how could the Gidulin Abayim Le'achar Mikan Askinon? Because so very Mo'alim B'Gidulin. Here we're talking about that the tree is a year old, let's say, and the pieces that the bird broke off are recent additions, thin twigs that have just grown. Because of that, if you hold, and this would make it fit beautifully with the Mishnayot until this point, if you hold that Gidulin, that weren't present at the time that you made the Hagdashah, are not something that you're mulling, even though they're owned by Hagdash, that would explain everything. There's no Me'ilah, however, you're not allowed to be Nana. So it could be coming directly from the tree. Whereas you can't prove one way or the other here. You're trying to prove to me that it's got to be talking about that it was Isa Mi'alma. Otherwise it would be Mi'ila. Not necessarily. Maybe Rish Lakish is right. Maybe it comes from the tree. And maybe indeed the Asher is Muteret because it's broken. And the reason by Hegdesh that it would be no Mi'ila if you want to learn the other way is because it's indeed Gidulim Boim Lachar Mikan. So either way we could learn it. No, that's the other, that's what we're saying. Depending if you learn, like when Rabbi Yochanan is trying to press his approach, Rish Lakish is pressing his approach, but there's no right one with the other. Okay, so getting back into our sugya, let's just read it in the way we have it over here. Yochi amai hegesh einen ein mo'alim, ve'ein mo'alim. Ela b'gidulim le'abon le'achar me'gan v'kesava ein mo'alim b'gidulim. And indeed it's reasonable to say that we're talking about that it came from the tree itself, because Yisrael Kedach with the Isimi Alma Amayatiz Bekane. Why, if it were something that came from elsewhere, would there be a problem of Yatiz Bekane? Lishkele Mishka, why would you have to push it off? Take it. Now this gears is problematic, because what do you mean take it? You have to be Oyla B'ilam. Oyla B'ilam would be Yosur. Okay, so therefore the gears that we have over there fits very nicely. Omer Rebbe Avu, Omer Rebbe Yochanan. Says Rebbe Avu, Rebbe Yochanan has a simple approach to this sugya. It's talking about, indeed, the nest was Isei B'Alma, and your problem over here is Yatiz. We're not talking about the nest itself, we're talking about the Ephrochim. You're trying to get down the Ephrochim over here, and that is what the Isser revolves around, which is the Shaila, but we have to be Chayish, that you would be Eila B'Ilan or not, which we're not Chayish by an Asherah. And therefore, the only question is, at what point the Ephrochim are still considered to be bottle to the eights. No, it's time you want to take it. There's no aim here. So Amalei Reb Yaakov, the Reb Yirmiya, Ephrochim, kan v'kan mutarim. Beitzim, kan v'kan asurim. If you're talking about Hegdesh, or you're talking about Avodas Kerchovim, in other words, an Asherah, if it's Ephrochim, they're not dependent on the tree, and therefore poking them takes them away from the tree, and you can take them, there's no problem. If they're Beitzim, however, since they are dependent, they can't fly away, obviously, so because of that, they will be usher because we look at them as the gidulim of the tree, so to speak. It's still tzorach le'ila. Ravashi, im Ephrochim tzorachim le'iman. If these are still such young Ephrochim, they can't fly on their own, so they have to stick to the nest, then kibetzim damu. They are also considered to be gidulim of the eights, and they would be aser. Agizbarim shalakhu etzim. Gizbarim go now and buy wood. And this wood is going to be used for building. The din then would be that mo'alim be'etzim, ve'in mo'alim lo b'shifuye, ve'lo b'nivuye. If they bought, or they bought trees, which can now be planed down to make the beams and so on that are going to be used, you would not be mo'al in the sawdust, or in the lashon of the nivuye would be referring to the leaves from the tree itself. Because they only had in mind to buy those parts that are going to be usable for Hegdesh. They're not interested in the bark and the leaves and things that fall out. So, Mamela, there wouldn't be a chashash on them.
And the bark as well, then.
Right. Omar Shmuel, the fact is that when we build using non-Hegdesh materials. So, bonim b'chol. And only afterwards are we magdish. My time. The reason is very simple. Because mandamit nadev mos behegdish lealter magdish lohu. Somebody's dedicating money. He gives money. He means for this money to be kodesh right now. So therefore, what we're going to have to do is if we would now go ahead and straight out buy the materials, where are we going to pay the workmen from?
They can't be paid by Hegdesh?
You can't be mechalal most of Hegdesh on work. You have to be mechalal it on something. After they work, the materials that they worked with are now worth much more. So we can now be mechalal all of that money on what it is that they made, which includes their work.
It's worth more because of the work.
Because their work, exactly. So there we're paying for something, not for an abstraction. And then the mos can be mechulalot. And everything works out fine. The Yomat Ha'abi Kedushas mos abinyin. The Yayad Lulu Manim Bischaran. So what you do is, you're mechalal the value of the binyan onto this binyan. Which now means that you've got freed money from its Kedusha. Because you could transfer Kedusha one thing to another. And now you use those funds to pay the Yayad Lulu Manim. Bisharam. So you could be mechalal the value of the work and the money that had come in for whatever purposes people had been magdishin. Kodesh money, be mechalal the money, then you have chol money. Take the chol money and pay it to the money.
And buy the wood?
Yeah, then you pay all of your expenses altogether. Mashenkin, if you're going to use the money up front, then where are you going to get the freed money from?
What? When a person in the village has that loans from the building, does not mean including the cost of the architect and everything done in
it. It does, but all that is included in the building. But where are you going to free up the value of that money?
From each other $1,000.
Ah, that's the problem, because then you're freeing it on an abstraction. I can't pay you directly for your work by money of Hegdesh. I should say, let the Kedusha be chal on the movements of my hand. It has to be chal on something. No. What's it going to be chal on? If I have the building here, I could take the money, the $100,000, this building is now worth $100,000. That $100,000 includes the architectural diagrams, the work of all the umanim, the raw materials, and so on and so forth. It is, but where is that architectural work? It's not up in the sky, it's in the binyan. But if the binyan isn't here yet, I can't take money that's Kodesh and pay the architect. What I'm going to have to is take everything on credit and say, okay, when you're finished the job, we'll be machal all the money onto the finished binyan, and then we'll have the funds to pay you. So right now the funds are in escrow. When the building is finished, we'll be able to use the funds, but we can't free up those funds until we have something physical here in which your work is incorporated.
Are they really buying on credit, or are they using
credit. In this country, we're talking, this was the Medina Metukenet.
10%, 20% down.
They're going to have to work. That's why they're called umanim. They work on emunah. So you have never finished that framework. Get back to Pekude right now.
If they consecrate the building before paying them,
yeah,
they would have to do it on kesef, right? And then that kesef becomes...
Just the opposite. They have to use kesef that's consecrated.
Then it becomes deconsecrated.
And then they can use the deconsecrated money to pay.
So they have to buy it from the laborers. The laborers building until they buy it from them, essentially. It's like an animal.
No, they don't...
Buying the animal, it's like buying a goat.
Well, if you're saying essentially, yes, but it's not legally what's being done. Because it doesn't have to be done that way. Because it's not that I need to pay you for the binyan. You're not getting your money to the payment for the binyan. What I look at it is that basically this binyan is worth money. None of you are demanding money for it right now. So I'm going to put the money value from this coin, so to speak, onto this building. Now I'll take that coin and pay you all for your work and for your raw materials and so on and so forth.
That's different than buying a sheep.
Sure, it's very different.
Why?
Because there I own the sheep directly, and it's the purchase that changes there's two ways of doing a pidyon. One is derech mechira, which is buying and selling, and the other one is through the simple act of saying, I hereby transfer the value of it, where I have two things. In this case, we're doing the latter, because we can't do the former. The reason we can't do the former is because the value that is owed, because it's tangible.
There's nothing physical.
Yeah, we're looking for tangibility. But the issue that you're raising is a very important one. Well, I mean, Abba hasn't defined his issue well. But what he's bothered by is what's called Shevach Umanim. Mm-hmm. Does a workman have a lien on the material in which he works?
That's
what you exactly.
So
that's a major sugya in the Gemara. If that lien is actual money, then it would be the equivalent of a purchase of the lien that you have. This is one of the most complex sugyas. The next little tiny piece, but since it's not nogea directly into Me'ila issues, we'll just take it kipshuto. The truth is, a lot of it we did deal with earlier, which was the ktoret problem. Mm-hmm. What we do with that ktoret, with the Mosra ktoret, is a very complicated why we go into the tremendous machlokas in which we spoke about. But the issue is very much in place that you were raising. But kipshuto, we have a problem over here of an abstraction that doesn't have a tangible mokum to be poda. We go ahead and we use the building for tangibility. Now we have freed funds. We use the funds to pay for the intangible. So then we say to have kedusha samos abinyan v'yoyev lahon lo'omanim bischaran, and therefore said Shmuel, it's best to leave everything whole until you have a completed binyan, and then you're going to be able to free up your funds.
But it's not leaving everything whole, right?
Start with whole. Leave everything whole.
When someone is makish, he's makish.
That's the money, but all the material and so on should be left whole. That's what it means, bonim b'chol. Mm-hmm.
No problem of not paying your workers?
Yes, but this is their emunah. That's part of their dedication to Hekdesh.
They agreed to this.
Meisvei. Moser HaKtoras, Maha Yuosim Bo. Now, first of all, Zivir Machlokas, what Moser HaKtoras was. We're talking about the Moser HaKtoras of every year, where we make 365 days worth of Keteras in order to allow for the overall solar year. And then if in this year it was a non-leap year, then we're left with additional Keteras that's Moser. And you'll say, so what? So just keep using it. Ah, the problem is because you need to be Mechadish in Nisan and have the Trumas Alishka by the Keteras each year. So it has to be each Shana is Mechadish, the Moed in Nisan. Others learn that it means the Moser Keteras is Bagia Lechetzio from the differences in the size of the Chof and of the Kohen Gadol. But in any event, do you have Moser Keteras? What do you do with this Moser Keteras?
You mean the ones in 70 years?
Yeah. The Magia Lamech, yeah. Be'era, 70, I mean, it depends. Uh-huh. Right. Either Shishim, Shivim, depends on the size of the hand that it going got off. So what you do is, your Mafrishin, take out the word Mimena, because it only works according to one shot. Mafrishin Tzcharo Umanim, Mechalalina Ota, Alma'ota Umanim, Menot Nimota Umanim, because Vimen Ot Nimota, so what we do over here is we take the Moser HaKtoras, which is how much we need and the amount of it that would be needed to pay Omanim. You know, the assumption over here is that this is the way Rashi learns it. The assumption over here is that when we want to free up something of value of Kodesh, we will free it up by being mechalalit on work that is done each day. Because since the Shevach of the work is only when it's completed. And that's a question, again, of Schirut Mishtalemet Lebesov. So if Schirut is Eina Mishtalemet Elo Lebesov, then at the end of that day, I can be Mechalal the value of whatever I have here, in this case the Moser HaKtoras, put it onto the whatever binyan had been made that day, and now comes along Nisan, I take this Moser HaKtoras, which needs now to be renewed from the Truma Chadasha. I'm now taking the value of the Moser HaKtoras, put it on the money that the Gizbar always has available that he has used to be paying the Umanim by being Mechalalit on the value of things. And then the Ktoras is Chol. But if the Ktoras is Chol, now the money has once again become Kodesh. Now what I do is, I then go ahead and buy, I give this Keteras to the Yumanim, now as their Schar, and I buy it back from the Truma Chadash. And that way I have basically gone through a transaction, leaves me right back where I started from, the only difference being that I've used fresh funds. And that technically fulfills my requirement of buying from the Truma Chadasha. So I'm Chosim, now I'm going to Truma Chadasha from the Yumanim, and that money now, through the purchase, the repurchase of the Keteras, the Kedusha of the money goes on to the Keteras, the money is left chulin, and is given now to the Poalim. The question is, what do we have to go through this complex transaction if all along, as Shmuel said, we leave everything chol until we have a completed thing? Why don't we simply go ahead and be Mechal of the Keteras on a binyan? Well, it says Umanim. I assume that they're there building.
So it's built.
And well, the Gemara is going to. Don't jump ahead as you always do. So why don't I just go ahead? Be Machal and the Keteras on a binyan. Says the Gemara, as David just said, what binyan? The Loika binyan. Who says there's a binyan anywhere? What do you mean, who says? It says Ma'ot Ha'umanim. I thought it says what?
That's stronger than the Leka. It's a different style.
Yeah.
Okay.
Enye. Right? So there's no, there is no binyan. So, but what about these Umanim? No, it means there's no binyan in the Shmuel sense. It's all very nice to say every day we have a little bit of inventory. That's not going to help us over here. We need to rebuy the Hok Torahs. I mean, we need a sheer keneged that was left now, just now completed, that we're ready. But there wasn't one, so there wasn't enough to be Mechalalan. But what does that mean, there wasn't enough? Was there a Shavapruta? Can't you be Mechalal even $100,000 on a Shavapruta if you want to? I mean, Omer Shmuel, Hegde Shava Mana Shechilo Shava Pruta Mechulal, you can't actually transfer the value onto something of lesser value. Okay, he said, if you did it, it's Mechulal. He didn't say to go ahead and do it that way. So Hani Mile Di Avad Belachatchilalo, he said, if you did it, you did it. But he did not say, you can do it. Rav Papa Amar. Rav Papa says, you know, you made such a complicated business over here. It's very simple. The reason we don't want the workers to be working with materials that are Kodesh are because it's easy to make a mistake, to lean on something by accident, put your head down on, or sit down on a pile of wood and use it as a bench, and then you're going to be mauled in Hegdesh. And that's the only thing. I know time of the bonim b'chol is simply look. We're not angels that we're going to be able to worry about every little thing that we do. So I'm a dimmer boy lemizga. Maybe I need to take a little rest, lean on something, and I'll go ahead with zaga alayu and ibona b'kedusha. If you're going to be magdish it up front, ishtakich tekamal b'kedusha. They're going to end up being mal b'kachim. Simple. No problems with the transference and so on and so forth. It's not. Hagizborim shalakhu et etzim, mo'alim behem vein mo'alim lo b'shifuye v'lo b'neviya. Am I mo'alim behem? I don't get it. You say, the gizbor walks into Home Depot and buys wood. Why would we be mo'alim the wood if you're telling me that we would never use Kodesh funds in Home Depot? So if they're all they did was put it on their credit account, so then what's there to discuss about big myopo? According to Shmuel, this would never happen. Hokanami la'avid b'chol.
Can it mean, I mean, the time until?
What's that?
I mean, from the time they purchase until you do anything with them, right? They would already be bought in b'chol, these 18. I just assume they would buy the wood and then bring it to wherever they're going to work with it, and then be machalit, and then
I don't understand what you're saying. Isn't Shmuel saying that we don't want to ever do that?
Oh, okay.
We're just asking, how does Shmuel understand the Mishnah? If the reason is over here that we're afraid that to use materials, the way Rav Papa is understanding, you're always afraid to use materials. You're right, the earlier way, we could say, okay, it's talking about a case. We didn't have need for those, for the chilul, whatever. But according to Rav Papa, we don't want to use Kodesh materials. It's not because we need to keep things chulin. It's because we don't give Kodesh materials for building purposes. So why would they ever go into Home Depot and use cash and now get into trouble with the Omanin? Dilma boy, lemizga bezagala, vishtaka to come over, catch him. Rav Papa, oh. That's true. Ibe etzim to be kanveila chachinami. Of course, if we were talking about wood that we're going to be leaving here for a building project, then of course there would be no such thing. We would never walk into Home Depot and just buy wood with Kodesh funds, because as I explained, we're always worried. What's talking about over here is that a shingle falls off or something. So you run into Home Depot, you pick up a shingle, and you bang it up. There's no chashash over there of coming with a me'ilah. There's no long-term project or a pile of boards. It's something that's being worked on instantly. So, we're talking about something that you're going to finish right now that needed some work. And over there, you don't have to put it on a credit account. You can buy, and you can use it, and there's no problem. Even the shitasi that it's the prop that we're worried about, me'ila. I hope you practice this piece too properly. Hadron alach vlad chatat.
Dean did.
Oh, that was good.
Go ahead.
Got a fun tune.
Oy vey.
Fun tune, the Hedikin Perek.
It was just stage fright, that's all. He actually had practiced it well. Kotche mizbeach mitztarfim ze im ze lemi'ila. Well, I suppose we'll have to hear the rest of that exciting story on Motzei Shabbat. Question is, since I it will be at my daughter's home for Shabbat, and since the weather report sounds desperate, I don't want to take any chances of being delayed by some type of long, snaky traffic coming back, and Chas v'Shalom not being here on time. So if you would accommodate me, we could learn a little bit later, then that would be... I mean, if you can't, I'm not going to ask Rabbi Zilberman to be available just in case.
9:30
would be okay. 9:30 good for everybody. Be all right? Okay. I mean, I don't want anybody to miss the Incredibles. The Incredibles are playing.
If he goes to Home Depot, they buy even on credit, still happens, right?
No, not until it's paid for.
Don't they take ownership when they physically take it? Isn't that?
Yes, but they're not. They're not Magdashim.
Oh, so they don't own it.
There may be ownership.
Turnkey operation.
Yeah, isn't there?
But the credit is in their name.
Right. In other words, until it's paid for, we don't take possession.
No. Yeah, but what about? Oh, you don't take possession of it because that was about the boy who can't prepare.